Welcome to the program God and Country. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. Today's program is a prophecy program, answering the question, what does the future hold for America? I often get this question, and I'm sure you do too, and this is a question that's on the heart of many Americans. With war in the Middle East, Islamic Jihad, the threat of communist China, unemployment, our government having to borrow 40% of everything it spends, open borders, immigration problems, AIDS, Ebola, the threats to our healthcare industry, the stress of all of these retiring baby boomers wanting their benefits, the educational moral crisis in our public schools. Is America a rising sun or a setting sun? Is it morning in America, like Ronald Reagan used to say, or is it twilight? In the Constitutional Convention of 1787, Benjamin Franklin saw the sun that was carved into the back of the president's chair. And he said, "I have often in the course of the session looked at that sun behind the president without being able to tell whether it was rising or setting. But now at length, I have the happiness to know it is a rising, not a setting sun." Well, that was very poetic. But we know that whether America is rising or setting must be determined by biblical discernment, not just optimistic feelings. Can we tell what's going to take place in America in the near future? Well, I'm not the type of prophet, like the prophets in the Old Testament, or the apostles, or the two prophets we will see in the coming apocalypse. So I can't prophesy exact days or events. As Amos said in the Old Testament, "I am not a prophet, nor the son of a prophet." But all of us, as New Testament Christians, have a prophetic ministry in understanding and applying the Word of God to our generation. And we can say to our generation to flee from the wrath to come. In John Bunyan's book, Pilgrim's Progress, those were the words that evangelist said to Christian who was living in the city of destruction. Flee from the wrath to come. And then Christian, with a burden on his back, left the city of destruction onto the pilgrim's pathway and to the celestial city. But that was a Matthew 3:7 quote from John the Baptist to the Pharisees of his generation. And within one generation of the prophet John saying those words, Jerusalem was burned to the ground. Thousands lost their lives, and the Jews were scattered throughout the world. Those Pharisees who are listening to the prophet John didn't realize how close they were to God's judgment on their nation. Now, they might have thought in their eschatology that the Messiah's coming will be the deliverance of Israel, deliverance from Rome, the bringing in of a day of peace and prosperity. But no, the coming Messiah meant a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap. Malachi 3:2. The day of the Lord would come burning like a furnace, and all of the arrogant and every evildoer will be as chaff. And the day that is coming will set them ablaze. Now, I believe we can say with confidence to our own generation that judgment is coming upon America. The question is not if, but when and how. And don't expect to see any more signs than we're seeing today. Because one principle we know from Scripture and history is that when judgment comes, it comes quickly and unexpected. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3. While they're saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly, like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. Isaiah chapter 47, verse 10. You felt secure in your wickedness and said, "No one sees me." Your wisdom and your knowledge, they have deluded you. For you have said in your heart, "I am, and there is no one besides me." But evil will come upon you, which you will not know how to charm away. And disaster will fall on you, for which you cannot atone. And destruction about which you do not know will come upon you suddenly. See, this is the nature of judgment. Most people live like the rich fool that Jesus spoke about in Luke chapter 12. They say, "Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now who will own what you have prepared?" From my knowledge of Scripture, from my reading of the Word of God, I am sure that one morning you and I are going to wake up and read in the headlines that there is an economic meltdown, that the world's paper money is absolutely useless, or maybe that China has started World War III by attacking Taiwan, or maybe Islamic terrorists have taken control of Pakistan's nuclear weapons and have begun to use them on some major Western cities. See, there are a number of scenarios that could trigger global war, but it need not be something dramatic that triggers it. Who would have thought that the assassination of the Archduke Ferdinand of Austria, June 28, 1914, would have plunged Europe into World War I? Or on September 1st of 1939, when Germany invaded Poland? Who would have thought that this would have ushered in World War II, with America being attacked not only by the Germans on one side, but the Japanese on the other? A war that resulted in the death of 500,000 Americans. You see, it could be nothing more than the rise of ISIS, taking over Baghdad, or overthrowing Assad of Syria, that triggers the powder keg in the Middle East and in Europe, and maybe even causing the toppling of world financial markets. The entire world is on a knife's edge, and it's only the restraining hand of God keeping the destruction that would naturally take place, given the way we're running the world, from taking place. Or as Jonathan Edwards said in his famous sermon, "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God," it is no security to wicked men for one moment that there is no visible means of death at hand. It is no security to a natural man that he is now in health, and that he does not see which way he should now immediately go out of the world by an accident, and that there is no visible danger in any respects in his circumstances. The manifold and continual experience of the world in all ages shows that this is no evidence that a man is not on the very brink of eternity, and that the next step will not be into another world. He that walks in slippery places is at every moment liable to fall. He cannot foresee one moment whether he shall stand or fall the next. And when he does fall, he falls at once without warning. Unquote. Remember in the book of the Revelation how the apocalypse begins? It doesn't come with any other sign than the Lord Jesus Christ breaks the first seal and peace is taken from the earth that men would slay one another. Revelation 6:4. Then comes famine, death, and the martyrdom of Christians. Now, all that may not be the work of the Antichrist, but events that simply usher in the Antichrist. After the destruction of the world, then the people of the world look to an Antichrist world leader to bring about a new age of peace and global unity. In other words, many tribulations may precede the official start of the apocalypse. Let's not assume that the apocalypse will unfold like it is described by Tim LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins in the Left Behind series. I hear there's another Left Behind movie starring Nicolas Cage. I think it's a very, very dangerous thing to turn biblical prophecy into a fictional movie for the purpose of entertaining people. This kind of media is a scourge on the church. And I fear for these people's souls, but that's an issue for another program. But for the past three generations, the prevailing evangelical last day theology has been that Christians will be raptured off the earth before the beginning of the Great Tribulation. And I'm not going to debate that point. But I think it's a huge mistake to assume that Christians will not experience any pre-apocalyptic tribulations before the rapture of the church. There is no scriptural basis for assuming that all is going to go well right up until the rapture of the church. and that only after the rapture of the church, all hell breaks loose on earth. If you really understand prophecy and you look at the book of the Revelation, the rise of a one-world government can certainly start before God officially starts the prophetic 70th week of Daniel, the time of Jacob's troubles. Now, my point is this. Judgment will someday come upon America. I believe we can say with confidence to those around us that there will not be peace in our times. But troubles are ahead. This is not to say that the next war or the next economic collapse will usher in the end of the world and the final tribulation, the Great Tribulation, what Jesus spoke about in Matthew 24:21, that Great Tribulation that has not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will. Instead, the next war or the next economic collapse could be just another foreshadowing, just like World War I or World War II. Who knows what wars and what shifting of world powers need to take place before the end? The people thought World War I and World War II were the end, that the Cold War was the end, but those were only foreshadows to keep the world in check and to set up for the final day. But we do know, because of the moral debauchery in America and because what we have learned from history and the warnings from God's word, a nation like America cannot continue for very long in her present wickedness. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 9, "Shall I not punish these people, declares the Lord? And on a nation such as this, shall I not avenge myself?" A generation of Americans that have murdered 50 million children in abortion, millions more being murdered in Europe and in Africa, South America and Asia, China alone has aborted 350 million children, more than the entire population of the United States. And there is a rampant spread of immorality throughout the world. Adultery, fornication, pornography, homosexuality. Almost every major American city hosts a gay pride parade. Hundreds of thousands march down Fifth Avenue every year in June for the LGBT Pride March. America has become Sodom and Gomorrah. And although God allows sin for a little while just to show the heart of men, he does promise to judge nations that murder and that indulge in gross immoralities. Romans chapter 1, they will receive in their own bodies the due penalty of their error. Jeremiah 23:14, "Also among the prophets of Jerusalem, I have seen a horrible thing. The committing of adultery and walking in falsehood, they have strengthened the hands of evildoers so that no one turns back from his wickedness. All of them have become to me like Sodom and their inhabitants like Gomorrah. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I am going to feed them with wormwood." The famous American Daniel Webster said in the early 1800s, "If we and our posterity shall be true to the Christian religion, if we and they shall live always in the fear of God and shall respect his commandments, if we and they shall maintain just moral sentiments and such conscientious convictions of duty as shall control the heart and life, we may have the highest hopes of a future fortunes of our country. It will have no decline or fall. It will go on to prospering and to prosper. But if we and our posterity reject religious institutions and authority, violate the rules of eternal justice, trifle with the injunctions of morality, and recklessly destroy the political constitution which holds us together, no man can tell how suddenly a catastrophe may overwhelm us that shall bury all of our glory in profound obscurity." Now, Daniel Webster said this almost 200 years ago. Was he saying this prematurely? Was he a misguided doomsday prophet? No, what he said was true. And America has experienced many catastrophes meant to punish and to purify. Even right after Webster died, America experienced a civil war. Almost every family in America lost a loved one. As I said before, what is soon to come upon us in America may not be the complete end of the world. But that should not prevent God's people from reminding the world that sin always results in judgment. Payday is someday, and a nation cannot continue long in sin. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever you sow, you will also reap. Do not be deceived. America will not be an exception. A nation that sows to the flesh will reap from the flesh corruption. Now, the argument against coming judgment is always the same. People will say we've heard the same old message of coming judgment for years, and it never comes. The Christians, the prophets have cried wolf way too often. The Christians and the prophets are like Chicken Little running around the barnyard crying, "The sky is falling, the sky is falling." Remember the story of Chicken Little? It's a moral story against those who think disaster is imminent. Well, this is the same argument used in ancient Israel. The Israelites said about Ezekiel's warnings of coming judgment that Ezekiel must be seen into the way distant future. Nothing of what Ezekiel was talking about could possibly be imminent. Ezekiel 12:21. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, "Son of man, what is this proverb you people have concerning the land of Israel saying, 'The days are long and every vision fails'?" That proverb that the people were saying means that the fulfillment of prophecy never comes, and so every prophecy is wrong, or it fails. Ezekiel 12:23, "Therefore say to them, 'Thus saith the Lord God, I will make this proverb cease, so they will no longer use it as a proverb in Israel. But tell them, the day draws near, as well as the fulfillment of every vision. For there will no longer be any false visions or flattering divination within the house of Israel. For I, the Lord, will speak, and whatever word I speak will be performed. It will no longer be delayed, for in your days, O rebellious house, I will speak the word and perform it, declares the Lord God." Do you hear the people's complaint? "Oh, these prophecies will never take place." And look how God responds. In Jeremiah's case, the people simply said that Jeremiah was wrong. He was a pessimist. Israel would not be defeated, but Israel was on the cusp of a new golden age. Jeremiah 14:13. Jeremiah says, "Ah, Lord God, look, the prophets are telling them, you will not see sword, nor will you have famine, but I will give you lasting peace in this place." Jeremiah 23:17. "They keep saying to those who despise me, 'The Lord has said you will have peace.' And as for everyone who walks in the stubbornness of his own heart, they say calamity will not come upon you." Also Micah 3:11. "They lean on the Lord saying, 'Is not the Lord in our midst? Calamity will not come upon us.'" And there are dozens of passages in the Old Testament which tell us that the number one problem with the people was that they didn't believe judgment was coming. They thought it was far into the future when actually it was just a few years off. And so also in the New Testament, the Apostle Peter teaches that the same rhetoric and unbelief of the Old Testament will take place at the end of the church age. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. "Know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mockings, following after their own lusts, and saying, 'Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of the creation.'" And the argument of the mockers is that God has not and will not interfere in the affairs of men. That the coming apocalypse, that the coming of Christ, has been spoken about by Christians for centuries, and yet the world is still progressing. We have more wealth, we have more technology, we have greater knowledge. And so, in false assurance, the people of the world ignore the biblical warning of coming judgment. There is one well-known conservative commentator who has dedicated an entire chapter in one of his books to refuting those who say the end is near. Those who say we're heading toward a new dark age, that there will soon be the end of Western civilization. And his arguments sound quite reasonable. I mean, after all, people were warning that America was coming to her end back in 1640. This conservative commentator quotes all of the doomsday The end is near quotes from Judge Bork and Jerry Falwell and John MacArthur and Bill Bennett and Michael Savage. And it does sound rather silly that all of these men warned about the end of America, and yet 20 years later, our government is still intact. The stock market is doing well. New oil resources have been found in America. The dollar is still strong against other currencies. There have been no major terrorist attack on U.S. soil since 9/11. And if you look at the past, America has always had immorality and drug use and crimes and murders. The murder rate in New York City has actually dropped. In 1991, there were 2,300 homicides in New York City. This year, it'll be about 350. And so the secular left, and even some conservatives, are making the argument that Christian apocalyptic warnings are historically wrong, statistically unprovable, and maybe even dangerous, counterproductive, self-fulfilling. And because of these criticisms, it does cause some Christians to keep quiet, because we don't want to be accused of being false prophets. Because maybe the wicked in our country will go to their grave in peace. As Asaph said in Psalm 73, I saw the prosperity of the wicked, for there is no pains in their death, and they're not troubled as other men. But even Asaph says later in that psalm that he said these things out of bitterness, and that his conclusions were senseless and ignorant. He goes on to admit that the wicked are in slippery places, and that God does cast them down to destruction. Now back in 2 Peter chapter 3, after Peter speaks about the mockers who will say, where is the promise of his coming? Peter goes on to write, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with an intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Christians, we need to have confidence in God's word, for the scriptures will not be proven wrong. So what are the lessons we can come away with today? First, to include in our witness the warning to flee from the wrath to come. Don't shy away from reminding those around you that God's judgments are real. One morning, we will wake up to read in the headlines that the end of our comfortable life is upon us. And the solution is not to become a prepper, where you store up food and emergency supplies, because when the true judgment comes, the prepper is not going to escape. Isaiah 24:18. It will be that he who flees the report of a disaster will fall into a pit, and he who climbs out of the pit will be caught in a snare. Isaiah 47:11. But evil will come upon you, which you will not know how to charm away. So having a cabin in Montana is not safety. The only safety is having Jesus Christ as your Savior and being in the center of his will. And the center of his will might actually be in the heart of Jersey City, or Newark, or Patterson, or Brooklyn. And we must also remind people that now is the day of salvation. When disaster comes, it's usually too late. As Jesus said, repent now, for the kingdom of God is at hand. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. You can listen to this program again or other past programs at godandcountryradio.org. Thank you for listening today. Consider making God and Country a regular part of your weekly discipleship. That's godandcountryradio.org. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we groan within ourselves waiting for the redemption, the coming of the Lord. We long for the city that has foundations whose builder and maker is God. Where you are, we want to forever be. Help us to continue to warn and invite others into your everlasting kingdom. For the Spirit and the bride say, come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.